Please pick up your text for this morning in Revelation chapter 4. This will be our seventh approach to the scripture. We'll be finishing up verse 3 today, and then we'll enter a very difficult verse 4 next Lord's Day. Revelation chapter 4, hear now God's holy word as we read the whole chapter. After these things I looked, and lo, a door having been opened in the heaven, and the sound. The first that I heard is a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what is necessary to take place after these. Immediately I did come in spirit, and lo, a throne set in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting, and the one sitting like stone, jasper and sardonyx in appearance, and a rainbow round about the throne like emerald in appearance. And round about the throne 24 thrones, and upon the thrones 24 elders, having been clothed in white garments, and upon their heads gold crowns. And from the throne coming forth lightnings and sounds and thunderings, and seven fiery lamps ablaze before the throne, that are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne as glassy sea like crystal, and in midst of the throne and round about the throne, four creatures being entirely of eyes front and back, and the first creature like unto a lion, the second creature like unto a calf, and the third creature having the face as of man, and the fourth creature like unto a flying eagle, and the four creatures one by one of them having six wings each, being entirely of eyes around and within, and they have no pause, saying, holy, 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 Kurios, the God, the Almighty, the was, the is, and the coming. And whenever the creatures will present glory and honor and thanksgiving to the one sitting on the throne, to the one living into the ages of the ages, the 24 elders will prostrate themselves before the one sitting on the throne, and they will adore the one living into the ages of the ages. And they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, the Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you did create all, and by your will they are, and they were created. Thank you. Please be seated. Begin this morning with the rainbow, verse 3. We have some more to say about that word in a few minutes. Verse 3 says, and a rainbow round about the throne like emerald in appearance. Here's the passage in which Yahweh introduces the rainbow in his creation. Genesis chapter 9. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. That word is really cut, by the way. Cut my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Before I comment on that passage, which, as you can see, is flush with covenantal implications, let me read for you once again from the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 1. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man upon it above. And I saw, as it were, glowing metal, as the appearance of fire within it, round about, from the appearance of his loins and upward, and from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and there was brightness round about him, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the radiance round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. The bow. What I want you to see first here is that God didn't just simply dream up something that would be this lovely sign of his beneficence to Noah and the world. Rather, as always, God's creation is a reflection of his glory. Everything he has made corresponds in some way to his glorious person. As we read the fourth chapter of John's Revelation, John is in the heaven. He is the archetype. That is the pattern for Moses' construction of the tabernacle in the desert and the temple on the Temple Mount. John is in the archetype from which was formed the cosmos. John is in the archetype from which this world in all of its diversity was created. God is the original by which all things are patterned. So when God gives Noah a sign, a bow, it has the appearance of the glory of God. The appearance that Ezekiel saw and which the Apostle John now sees in the heaven. As Ezekiel described it, it was the radiance of his glory. As John sees it, it is round about the throne like emerald in appearance. I want you to listen carefully now, okay? To the writer, to the Jewish Christians in dispersion now in the nations. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who has appointed, he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the radiance of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right of the Majesty on high, who being, it's talking about the Son of God now, the Word, being the radiance of His glory. So God the Son, without whom nothing was made that was made, and who upholds all things by the word of His power, is the radiance of His glory and the express image of His person. These are the same words that the prophet Ezekiel uses in his description, aren't they? The radiance of His glory. The one who is the radiance of His glory took the form of man and purged our sin and ascended bodily to the heaven and sat at the right of majesty. The sign of the covenant shown to Noah after the flood was the radiance of His glory. As Ezekiel said, it was the radiance of the bow round about, the appearance of the glory of Yahweh. And as John says, the appearance of the rainbow round about the throne. What Noah and his son saw is what Ezekiel saw, what John sees here in the text. The bow after the rain is the effulgence, the brightness, the radiance of the glory of Yahweh. It is the bow around the throne room judgment seat of God. It is His very glory. It is the second person of triune God. He is the brightness of His glory. God gave the earth a sign of God the Son. He is the eternal Word of God, and it is the bow of the radiance of God. The Word of God, without whom nothing was made that was made, is Himself the assurance to the earth of its security. He Himself, because of sin, because of the curse, flooded the whole earth and destroyed it. And now He Himself assures the entire earth that there will never be a similar destruction. And a replica of His own glory is placed in the clouds of the heavens as a sign. And that bow in the heavens is a prophetic sign of His salvation of the world, isn't it? He Himself will save the world from sin and from the curse. He Himself would receive in Himself the baptism of the flood of wrath from His Father in order that the world might be cleansed in that flood. Now I want to give you a bit of history of how the sign of the covenant in Christ Jesus our Lord, which is the radiance of God, how it's been turned into idolatry, and how it's been demeaned by man. This certainly isn't all of it, just the high spots or low spots. But man, because he does not wish to worship the one true God, recognizes the glory of God in what he's made. He recognizes the glory of God in what he's made, but works with all of his heart to make something else out of it. He suppresses the glory of God and makes something else out of it. And in much of the idolatry that I'm about to list for you, you can actually recognize the original revelation of God. Greek mythology, for example, and the Romans after them. The rainbow was considered a pathway made by the goddess Iris. She was considered the goddess of the rainbow. She was considered the pathway, that is, the rainbow. It was the connection between the gods and humans. I think it's easy to see the original revelation of God from which came that version. And as in every case of idolatry, in every case of perverted theology, they all begin with God's original revelation of himself in his creation and in his word. In ancient Chinese Buddhist mythology, the rainbow was a gift from the sun goddess. Rainbow is a slit in the sky, according to Buddhist mythology. And that rainbow, that slit in the sky, was sealed by the goddess with 5 colored stones. In Hindu, the name of the rainbow means the bow of Indra. Indra is the god of thunder and lightning in Hinduism. In Norse mythology, the rainbow is called the Bifrost Bridge, which connects the realms, the two realms, one the realm of the gods and the other the realm of humans. There is a connection, you see. The Celts, of course, fashioned a tail of leprechauns, hiding their pot of gold, which somehow originates a rainbow in the heaven after the rain. Now, in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is becoming very popular again, by the way, it's been reprinted, that's a more recent Mesopotamian writing, the great mother goddess Ishtar, we've discussed Ishtar a couple of times in earlier sermons in the Revelation, but Ishtar had a diamond-clad necklace which she lifted up into the heavens and declared once and for all that the great flood would never again destroy her children. The necklace was the rainbow, of course. The myth is really obvious, came directly from God's work and his speech in his creation. Now, scientists have discovered this phenomenon, and they've studied it, and they've studied it, and they've studied it, and they have yet to come up with a satisfactory explanation for it. With light and moisture and reflection and refraction and numbers representing the spectrum of color, they still can't duplicate a rainbow. Now, all they can do is explain the theory. But you see, there is no moisture, and there is no sun, and there is no reflected light, there is no refracted light at the seat of glory. But there is a bow at the seat of glory, and it's round about the throne, and it's, as John says, like emerald in appearance. And it is the radiance of the glory of Yahweh, and that radiance is duplicated in the creation as a sign of God's covenant with the earth. Now, in more modern times, the rainbow has been used by a lot of businesses and organizations as an emblem and as a marketing insignia. Right here in Tyler, we have rainbow apparel. We have rainbow pool services. We have rainbow seal coat. We have rainbow vacuum sales and service. And we have rainbow steam cleaning. I'm sure it's the same in every other city and every other location around the country. But you see, it's the blasphemous organizations, the national ones, that have co-opted God's revelation of himself and have on purpose twisted the revelation in order to make it fit what they prefer it to mean rather than what God has revealed it to mean. Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition was formed in his 1984 run for the presidency. The rainbow was meant to bring disadvantaged folks of every color, and every creed and every sexual orientation together for political power, all under the auspices of a self-proclaimed Christian minister, Reverend Jesse Jackson. After getting about 10 million people on his side, he bribed large companies for huge amounts of money with threats of bad publicity, strikes, and boycotts of their properties and their products. And the folks he represented were not only not empowered by him, but they were further disenfranchised. And that, of course, was on purpose, because when people are empowered, you see, Reverend Jackson loses his power. He has to keep them disenfranchised in order to retain power, on all in the name of the Christian ministry and with the sign of the covenant as his emblem. The other profane and contemporary use of the rainbow is the official flag of what is now known as LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual people. LGBT is what they call themselves. The rainbow flag is what they use to represent the great diversity within the gay culture. Please remember Paul's opening statement of the church at Rome regarding the depravity of man. Chapter 1, listen to it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who obstruct the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, because God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that, knowing God, all men know God. Knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up into a reprobate mind to do these things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. The Apostle Paul, moved along by Holy Spirit, writes that the most profane, the most ungodly, the most vulgar, the most obscene, the most contemptuous of the glory of God is homosexuality and its consent with others. What that means is its practice and teaching of others to participate. It is, as I've said so often, the very bottom of the spiral, the downward spiral into the depths of human depravity. Also, be aware that there are stores and other businesses that market their wares by displaying the flag. This is the rainbow flag of the LGBT. Sometimes it's openly displayed. Other times it's more innocuous. But when you see it, it's good to avoid it. More than likely, the flag indicates affirmation. It indicates approval of the practice rather than just a readiness to take their money. It means that the business itself is gay and lesbian friendly. There are also major national businesses that make a special effort to market to this segment of the population. Reason is that homosexuals, for the most part, have no spouses. And they have no children to support. Therefore, they have 2 to 5 times as much expendable income to spend on themselves. It doesn't matter whatever the amount of their income is or the source of the income, they still have more money to spend on themselves. So you have 5% of the population spending 10 to 15% of the available expendable money. Point here is that the use of the rainbow flag is one of disdain and contempt and disparagement to the glory of God and this covenant that He has made with the earth. For the lowest form of human depravity to use the radiance of the glory of God in His throne room judgment seat is just plain human hubris, rebellion, and mockery. So it is most propitious and providential that it is His throne of judgment that's being mocked, isn't it? As the writer to the Hebrews said, and we read that earlier, the Son of God, the very Word of God, is the radiance of His glory and the very image of His being. By the way, let me mention that recently the McDonald's Corporation has marketed itself as LGBT friendly in the gay and lesbian periodicals. I don't know whether they've begun displaying this LGBT flag openly or not. I wouldn't be surprised to see it in some places. Never been a fan of their food, but I'm sure I'm not going to be buying anything else there. Although since it is seemingly omnipresent on the highways with its bows extending into the sky, I don't have any qualms at all about stopping and making an urgent deposit in one of their stores. And further, given their propensity to openly rebel against God's perfectly clear word against homosexuality, that deposit seems of some corresponding significance. I don't know whether that's a legitimate observation to make in a sermon on Sunday, but there it is. I need to make some comments about the color of the bow. John saw around the throne like emerald in appearance. It's true that every beautiful stone was to be found in the garden. God made them all, called them into existence, and it all corresponds, you see, to his glorious person. However, emeralds are not mentioned in the book of Genesis per se. This very beautiful and rare stone is only mentioned 5 times in the entire Word of God. And only one of those 5 occasions is with reference to the bow around the throne. That one occasion is right here in the text of John's Revelation, chapter 4. So in essence, this is what we call in Hebrew and Greek semantics a pax legomena. It's one time. It's a one-time event, you see. It is, I suppose, well known that emeralds are green or bluish green, sometimes in appearance. Real emeralds, most of the ones that you see, by the way, are synthetic ones. Real emeralds are found in only a few places in the world. The most rare ones in Colombia in South America. They're all green. And as I said, they are very rare. So the question may be asked, what does green or bluish green have to do with the colors of the rainbow? Are we missing something? The answer is, of course, no. We're not missing anything. After the flood, the sign of the covenant with God's creation is the bow. Nothing there in the text says anything about a rainbow. It was given to the earth after the flood. It was given to be seen after the rain stopped. It's a rainbow because it appears after the rain. It's a sign that the complete baptism of the earth with water was not going to occur again. But that leaves us with a question, doesn't it? Why emerald? Why is the bow around the throne of God like emerald in appearance? Why is it not multicolored? It's an important question because God does nothing without reason. And his word is consistent. It's reasonable and it's inviolable. And the appearance of John of the throne in the heaven is what it is. And it is what it is for a reason. I ought to tell you right here that the translation in the text is incorrect. It ought to read bow rather than rainbow. God's throne does not appear with a rainbow. There is no rain around the throne of God. So you need to change that in your copies to read just bow. Our future copies here will reflect that. The answer to this important question, though, is found in the text of the Hebrews chapter 1 passage, which we read earlier. I want to read it again for you. It's very critical for our understanding here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the radiance of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right of the majesty on high. The writer to the letter of the Hebrew Christians in dispersion from Israel, you remember, is writing of the Son of God, who is the radiance of his glory, and who is the express image of his person, and who upholds all things by the word of his power. That radiance, John writes, is like emerald in appearance. Why is he seen here by John as like emerald in appearance? Because on the breastplate of Aaron, the high priest of Israel and the administrator of the entire ceremonial system, the entire sacrificial system of the tabernacle, the tribes of Israel were represented by stones, the breastplate. The tribe of Judah was represented by the emerald stone. Which was the tribe of Judah? From Judah came King David and Joseph and Mary and Jesus, the Christ of God. The emerald stone on the breastplate of the high priest, the one who first prophetically represented him in the man-made Holy of Holies. This is the stone, you see, the builders rejected, the very radiance of the glory of God in his heaven. And John sees these things and records these things for us in order that we might know him and worship him and obey him. Now may our Lord be pleased to allow us this access to his throne on this Lord's Day. Amen.